walk in love. That is a very profound imperative, because Christ's love is a very profound commodity.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The imitation of God, I think that's what Paul's talking about in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. It's a dynamite passage. I love these two verses. I love the book of Ephesians. And in these two verses, Paul sets before us, I think, the highest and noblest standard in all the world. He tells us that people like us must be the imitators of God. In fact, I think he calls us to copy God. I think that's really the meaning of the verb there, the concept there. He is simply arguing that children are supposed to be like their parents. And I think that Paul is saying that we are the children of God and we should be like our parent. It's a fact which can be both embarrassing sometimes and encouraging to those of us who have children. There have been occasions in my journey as a parent when I was wonderfully happy to have somebody say, well, he or she is the spitting image of his father. There are other occasions I wish they would have said, her mother, you know. Only rarely. My children have been a blessing to me. My grandchildren are a blessing as well. It's a marvelous thing that can be said of Christians, that they actually have it in them to be like God. I think that's what Paul is saying. You have it in you. I have it in me to be like God. Be followers of God. Be imitators, really, of God. We can imitate God in our character qualities and our mental processes, our worldview, our value system, in some ways our behavioral pattern. And I think that was God's original intention in the creation. That's what he designed for us in the beginning, because Scripture says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And I know that's a very pregnant theological phrase with all kinds of ideas attached to it, but I think it has that idea as well, that we would be like him. It meant that man, unlike the beasts of the field, had it in him to be like God. He had the capacity for the rational, the moral, the verbal, the spiritual. In those areas, those nuances of our anatomy and being, we are like God. I think those are some of the nuances or components of the image of God. It's a very complex concept, and high-tech theologians who are much more sophisticated at the theological discipline than I am wrestle with and debate all that the image and likeness of God means in us. But I think there are rational, moral, verbal, and spiritual overtones. Rational, we have a mind. Moral, we have a conscience. Verbal, we have a tongue. We can speak. Complex communication, even of abstract ideas, we're able to speak because God speaks and we're made in his image. And spiritual, we have a spirit, an insatiable hunger for God, an ability to commune with him. But sin smashed all of these pristine qualities. By sin, man's mind and morality, his speech and spirituality became warped. We weren't like God anymore. And Jesus Christ came to rectify that situation. And through him, we now have it in us to once again become like our Heavenly Father. And that is what Paul is addressing in these two verses. I think he's saying, first, be certain that you're a child of God, and then secondly, be absolutely deeply committed to Christian growth. Be a community of the dedicated, a fellowship of the yielded in your spiritual journey. Become an imitator of your Heavenly Father. To be imitators of God, we will need to give attention, I think, to what Paul is saying in this context. Paul identifies three great provisions in this passage, which, if heeded, will move us toward the likeness of God. What are they? Number one, he supplies us with a mandate to obey. We'll take a look at that in just a moment. Number two, he supplies us with a motive to inspire. Gives us an engine to drive our becoming like God. And thirdly, he supplies us with a model to follow. All of these are in verses 1 and 2. First of all, he supplies us with a mandate to obey, and it takes the shape of two imperatives. Be followers, that's verse 1, and walk in love, that's verse 2. Two imperatives. That is the mandate, that is the command that we are to obey. A couple of imperatives here. Imperative number one, follow your father's example of forgiveness. Be ye therefore followers of God. And I think he's calling us to follow our father's example of forgiveness. Grammatically, we are linked inextricably to verse 32 of chapter 4. That's why he says, therefore, for accordingly, or consequently, or these things being so. What things being so? What he's just said about the father up in chapter 4 and verse 32. Then he comes down to verse 1 of chapter 5. Be ye therefore, in the light of that, consequently, in the light of that, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So how does he identify God in Ephesians 4 in verse 2? Grammatically, we're linked to that verse, and we're taught in that verse that kindness and tenderness and forgiveness, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We're taught that kindness and tenderness and forgiveness are to supplant or displace meanness and hardness and bitterness in the Christian experience. I mean, these are the moral qualities which are to characterize God's people. And why is this? Because that's the way God is. That's what he says there in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Why should we be into kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness instead of meanness, hardness, and bitterness in our Christian experience, in our Christian journey? Why should those moral qualities characterize God's people? Why? Because that's the way God is, even as God, he says up there in verse 32, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you or wrapped you in grace, be ye therefore, in light of that, be ye therefore followers of God. Follow the Father's example of kindness and tenderness and forgiveness. Follow, by the way, is a very strong word. It's the word mimetai, which means to mimic. It's used of professional orators and actors who studied and imitated their teachers. It doesn't mean simply to tag along or lollygag behind somebody. It means studious concentration. It means precise reduplication. It means to copy God. It means that every Christian must have a twofold relationship to his God. One, we must be a diligent student. Two, we must be an obedient servant. We must study God. We must get to know our God. And we must serve our God so that we can copy our God. Once we know who he is and what he expects, we must obey him. We must become like him. So he says, be therefore followers, mimetai, imitators, mimickers of God. By the way, I like that word be. It's actually the word become, and that sort of comforts me. I want you to become followers of God. It's a present middle imperative for you Greek buffs. Genestha is the actual form that appears in the text. And I think the significance of that is this. We may not be there yet, but I want you to become that. By the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the energy and insight and information and wisdom, which is alive and pulsating with God's presence and power found in his word, by the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, by the dynamism of Scripture, through the nurturing, mentoring, encouraging influence of spiritual leadership and your brothers and sisters in Christ, with all of those tools accessible to you, God's grace, God's Spirit, God's Word, God's people. On the ground of all of that, we can become soon what we are not now. We may not be, but we can become imitators of God. This happens as he walks with us through the crucible of real life experiences. I think that's often the bigger picture which God has in mind when we're facing our hardships in life. I think that's the bigger picture as we face those hardships in life. He's shaping us. God is shaping us into his own great likeness if we will trust him through those experiences. There's a second imperative here. In verse 1, he says, be followers. That's an imperative mode. That is the mandate we're to obey if we're going to imitate God. Be followers. Follow your father's example of forgiveness. Secondly, he says, follow your Savior's example of love. And that's what he says there in verse 2. Walk in love. And that too is the imperative mode. Walk in love. Even as, kathos, I think, is the little Greek particle there. Even as Christ also hath loved us. That's down in verse 2. Follow your Father's example of forgiveness. Follow your Savior's example of love. I think walk is one of Paul's favorite words for the entire course of our Christian life and journey. It almost always has an ethical connotation. Walk does, harking back to Old Testament concepts. describes the whole circle. Peripateo is the Greek. The whole circle of your life. It means that at all times and in all circumstances, biblical love, Christ-like love, is to touch, suffuse, and transform every facet of our lives, governing who we are and what we do. Walk in love. That is a very profound imperative, because Christ's love is a very profound commodity. There are many things which God does that are impossible for us to imitate. Creation, we can't imitate creation ex nihilo. We can't speak into existence things that were not in existence. God creates ex nihilo, light be, light was. Yehi or, where yehi or, let there be light, then there was light. He spoke it into existence. We can't imitate that. We can't duplicate that. Providence is sovereign superintendence of the ebb and flow of history, both the historical actual events of history and the moral implications of them. Providence and redemption, his rescue of a fallen human race through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. We can't imitate those, creation, providence, redemption, but love is one thing in which we can imitate our Heavenly Father. We can only do it in Christ. We couldn't do it apart from that, and only do it by the Holy Spirit, because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is agape. In Christ and by the Spirit, we can imitate God's love, and that's what Paul calls us to do. Paul says, at all times and in all circumstances, see to it that sincere and innocent and generous and practical love. But he says, at all times and in all circumstances, see to it that sincere and innocent, it never harms anybody, it always helps everybody. Generous, it's marked by sacrificial giving, and practical, it's not just a love in word or a love in tongue, it is a love in deed, a love in action. It's fleshed out in the real world of everyday activity. See to it that such love, sincere and innocent and generous and practical love, touches and transforms every part of your life, for that is what it means to follow the Son's example of love. So Paul supplies us with a mandate. We will need to obey it if we're going to be imitators of God. Follow your Father's example of forgiveness. Follow your Savior's example of love. I needed those examples in my journey as I began my Christian experience. I grew up angry. I've talked about this on probably multiple occasions over the years. I grew up angry. I had to learn how to forgive people who had wounded me, particularly in my boyhood, those early stages of my childhood before I became a Christian. I needed these lessons of my Savior's love, of my Father's forgiveness. I needed to learn the lesson that nobody had ever offended me as greatly as I had offended God, yet God fully forgave me. And so I must learn now how to fully forgive others. And I need tenderness and kindness and forgiveness in my journey. So these were very powerful and practical exhortations for Doug in the beginnings of my journey.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
God did not give things to me, he gave himself to me, and he gave himself for me.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively. helping you to live an authentic Christian life.